So it's been quite the summer with the extreme heat for a while, tons of smoke, and now it's freezing cold out. At least for me it is. For me it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride. I've had a variety of experiences and emotions. I've found a lot of answers. I've encountered many challenges. I've solved a lot of problems, and I've felt like quite a failure. I've felt that I can't handle all the demands, and yet I've found community, loving help, peace, and hope. Quite the mix of emotions, and I imagine many of you have those as well this summer and other times. Some of you know that my family has been dealing with my wife being ill for many years. I try not to talk about that too much because it gets a little old, but once in a while I do realize I need to catch you up on how she's doing and what we're doing. So the last couple of years she has deteriorated a little bit faster than she had been for several years before. And when Gabe was born, she started having more problems swallowing liquids. So she was able to still get enough, but it was difficult. But the last couple years, she wasn't able to get enough liquids in. So a couple years ago, we started taking her to the hospital. We got on a program that you could go and get IV a couple times a week. So we took her, I would take her in, I don't know, two or three times a week at different times. Take her in, drop her off. She would get a couple bags of IV fluid, and then she would call, and I'd pick her up and take her home. And we did that for 6 months to a year. And at the end of that, the nurses were saying, we can't find veins anymore. And it's just really difficult to get a vein to put that liquid in. So we found out that we could get her a more permanent line. It was called a PICC line. I'm sure that's an acronym for something. Maybe Taya would know the answer to that. She's a youth nurse. But it goes in your arm and up into your bloodstream, and so then you can give yourself, it's just the tube sticking out, and you can give yourself fluid whenever you need it. So she would give herself a couple bags a day. So she was getting hydrated, but she still seemed to be not improving or, continuing to do poorly. So in about March or April, we realized we got to start thinking ahead to how are we going to be ready for if she gets really bad and needs a lot more care. So we realized that our house needed some updating, get rid of carpets so she could roll around in the chair and change things around a bit so that she could get showers and whatever. So we started looking at designing our house for better caring for her. And we went through a bunch of different ideas with the plans and everything. Finally, we found something that looked really good. Now, it's interesting because I really don't understand God's timing on things, because right when we're trying to figure out this big renovation for our house, the church is trying to move from First Ave to here. And then at the same time, we realized that this line that she had in could only be around for about a year, and then they're just really afraid of infection. So the doctor said, well, maybe if you get a feeding tube, that'll prepare you ahead of time if you can't start eating solid foods as well, then you'll be able to get that sustenance that way. So in early June, we got the feeding tube, and we started our rental project, and we moved to church. So that's a little background as to why I have this wide range of emotions over the summer. But one of the things I've learned over the years in dealing with illness is that everybody has something that they struggle with. Everybody is struggling or will struggle or has struggled with something pretty big for them. And some things are really obvious. My thing is obvious. I have a ring on my finger. You don't see the woman that goes with it ever. And, you know, it's obvious that there's something going on there. But some people have a more private struggle. And sometimes those are even more difficult because it's really private. It could be a relationship breakdown. You know, it's a relationship ended, or it's at an impasse, or it's just really a big struggle. Maybe a child is making choices that you don't agree with, and you're just really frustrated and overwhelmed, and you just care so much about this child, and they're making choices that are not good for them. Maybe your boss isn't treating you with dignity and respect, and it's really, nobody really understands how difficult that is. Maybe it's depression. Awful. We've gone through that once when Cheryl's illness, and it's the worst thing. Maybe it's anxiety or grief. Whatever you struggle with, or you continue to struggle with, or you will struggle with eventually, for you it's unique and it's difficult. And it's not about comparing with somebody else, you know, all my things, nothing compared to that. It's hard for you, and that's okay. It is hard. And there are days when I feel so overwhelmed, I feel like I can't handle it all. I don't know how I'm going to do this. What's going to, you know, what do I do? And I'm sure many of you feel that way as well. So I want to take you to a passage this morning that's really a comfort to me. And I can't say I do it perfectly. I barely do it well at all, going to this passage and understanding it. But it's been a comfort for me and a challenge to me in the past little while. And I want to share it with you a little bit this morning. So it's Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's Jesus talking. And that sounds amazing. I will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I will find rest, or you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Doesn't that sound perfect? Too good to be true to me. In fact, if I'm really honest, I don't believe it. And part of the reason I don't believe it is because later Jesus says in Matthew 16, he says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So I'm supposed to come to Jesus to find rest, and yet I have to deny myself, take up my cross, and it'll cost me everything? It's kind of frustrating figuring out how to coordinate those two things. On the one hand, he says it's easy to follow him. On the other hand, it's cost me everything. So which one is it, God? I don't know. Stay with me. I think it does make sense, and it makes sense in a way that is comforting and still challenging. So when Jesus said to come to him, to those who were weary and burdened, he's talking to normal Israelite Jewish people. And they were really trying to live by the law that God gave. And that law was interpreted by religious leaders called Pharisees. And these Pharisees they really cared about the law. And they cared so much about the law that they would make sure that they understood every little thing about it, and then they'd say, in order to avoid breaking this law, we need to not even get close to it. So they'd kind of set boundaries outside of it, and because they cared so much about the law. And then they would teach the people, this is how you observe the law. And they were really proud about being able to understand, interpret, obey, and teach the law. So they would, be proud of all that. And Jesus says about the Pharisees, he says in Matthew 23:4, "They tie up heavy loads and they put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." So these Pharisees really care about the law, but they teach it as just, you need to keep this, this is how you do it, we're keeping it, look at us, we're great, you know, and there's no love or offer to help them carry this load that they're telling them, this is what you need to do. So when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," he's talking to people that are overwhelmed by the rules of the Pharisees. So imagine having a job where you have meaningful, wonderful work to accomplish, and you're excited to do it, and you have plans and everything, and you make up a way to do it, and then your boss puts on all these restrictions, like, you can't do it that way, can't do it that way, can't do it that way, and before you know it, you're continually trying to figure out how to do this work, but eventually it's just going through the motions of trying to get through all this stuff that your boss is putting on you to keep you from actually doing the work, it feels like. And it becomes lifeless, unrewarding, and tedious. And this is the weary and burdened feeling that Jesus is addressing to these people that are trying to observe the law. And Jesus promises desired rest. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that word rest, I think, oh, that'd be so great. Sometimes I just wish I could go away for a couple weeks and rest. My wife laughs at me. She said, you can last an hour. But I feel like I want that. But the greatest thing about this rest, it's not that kind of rest where you're just doing nothing. It's the rest that's a new, it says he's given a new yoke. A yoke that's easy. Now, an easy, it's when we hear easy, we have one way of thinking about easy, but it's not the way I tend to think about easy. The word for this is more specially fitted, easy fit. So like years ago, I bought a backpack. And I wanted to go backpacking, and I wanted to be able to carry a bunch of stuff on my back. So I went into the backpack store. I said, I want a big backpack that I can carry a bunch of stuff. And so the salesperson took me, and he showed me all these backpacks. And I said, yeah, that big one, that's great. And so he said, yep, you can adjust it here and adjust it there and everything and make it fit pretty well. So I was like, great, if it can fit pretty well, that's perfect. So I went on a couple overnight trips, and it was fine, but when I went on a longer trip, I learned how important a specially fitted backpack to my back would be, because I had bruises and pains and aches all over from this thing. I kept trying to adjust it and make it work, and it just wouldn't work. But if I had a specially easy fit, it would be much better for my comfort on this journey. So I think that's the meaning of this easy yoke. It's easy, not that it's just nothing there, but it's specially fitted, unique fitted to the person that is wearing it. So Jesus is offering something like that. He was taking the harsh, unfinished, you know, bumpy, ill-fitted, and overwhelming load of the Pharisees and replacing it with something that's perfectly custom fit in every way to the unique contour of the person. Kind of like taking off your shoe with a rock in it and replacing it with a perfectly fit runner. I don't know if the first time I had a perfectly fit runner was amazing. I felt like I could run for miles. But it's that kind of feeling. And the difference is whose yoke it is. The Pharisees' yoke was lifeless. It was rule-imposing and loveless, and Jesus is gentle and humble, and he's the opposite of the Pharisees, so his yoke is placed with love, compassion, and it's life-giving. And it's that's all the difference. It's night and day. The old yoke was lifeless. Jesus' yoke was life-giving. The old yoke was loveless. Jesus' yoke is loving. The old yoke was didn't produce any fruit. The new yoke was life fruit producing. But it's still a yoke, which means it implies work. So the question is, what is this work that Jesus wants to give us? I think there's some wording in this passage that helps us understand some of the work he's talking about. He says to come to him. When you to come to someone implies that you trust them enough to come. And then he says to learn from him. And when you learn from someone, you're obeying. So you combine this passage with passages like John 15, talks about the branch abiding in the vine. And then John 6:29 that says our work is to believe in Jesus. I think the work that he wants us to do is to trust, abide, and obey. Trust, abide, and obey. I'm always amazed at how amazing and complex God is, and yet the simpleness of his commands to us. Doesn't mean they're easy, though. Trust, abide, obey. Whatever you're going through, God is big enough. And he's not surprised. He's not surprised by what comes up. The things that surprise and scare us. He's not surprised by them. He knows they're coming. And he has your work specially fitted to you when you trust, abide, and obey. So his burden being light means that we can trust him and abide in him and obey him because he's carrying the load. He gives us just what we can handle. But it doesn't make it easy. It's not easy to trust somebody. In fact, I bet there's many of you, many of us, in this room that would probably rather have something difficult and be in control than to give up trust to someone else and not know what's coming and trust that they'll give us just what we need. So how does this passage comfort me when I'm overwhelmed by life, by my renovations and dealing with my wife being sick and my kids needing stuff and just normal life and stuff when I feel like there's just not enough of me to go around to handle all this? It helps me realize that my job isn't to be perfect. My job isn't to be the best. My job isn't to sustain my wife or discipline my kids perfectly or be the perfect youth pastor. It's not my job. I will always fail if I make those things my job. I will always fail when I try to accomplish God's work on my resources. My job is to trust God's plan, to abide in him daily and follow him today. So I don't have to be the perfect construction worker on my renovation project at home. I don't have to be the perfect father, the perfect husband, or the perfect youth pastor. I have to trust Jesus as I obediently enter into each of those tasks. Do you see the difference? When I make my job about me, my burden is heavy and overbearing. Can't do it. It grates at my hope and my joy. But when I take Jesus' yoke on me and enter my work trusting in his ability, abiding in him daily, and obeying him one step at a time each day, then my soul's at rest in the hope of his plan and his infinite resources. The final thought on God's invitation to take on his yoke is that it's not something meant to be done alone. It's a public invitation, and it's intended for us to do together. As God's people, we're all yoked together and held by him, but sharing the load. We help each other trust, abide, and obey. That's what part of the reason we meet together regularly is because we help each other trust, abide, and obey, because it's hard. Simple, but hard. We all have burdens, like I mentioned earlier. Some of us have very obvious burdens, and some of us have very private burdens. And we're intended to carry them together. It's humbling, but it's amazing. This summer I've experienced the together part of my burdens. Some of you knew that we were going through this renovation thing at home, and some of you know a little bit more about how Cheryl's doing, and then some of you helped coordinate some things for us. So we've had many of you make us meals, come and tear out drywall, prepare our subfloor, paint, do laundry. Like, it's been amazing how we've experienced this together part. And we're so grateful to you. Thank you for being this family that we can do life together with. It's been humbling to admit our overwhelm. And it's been amazing to see God's hand at work, his family at work. I don't know what your burden is this morning. It doesn't matter if it seems small in comparison with someone else's. Whatever it is, it's hard for you. And that's okay. You don't have to feel bad about it feeling difficult. And you don't have to carry it alone. Jesus' invitation is to come to him and trust that he's enough. His resources are infinite. And many of them are in this room. I know it's hard to share your burden. It's vulnerable. You don't know how people will respond. And sometimes people don't respond well. It's true. It's not the way God intended it. God intends his family to love each other and care for each other. And it is vulnerable. But think about the last time you were able to help somebody. If somebody shared something with you and you were able to comfort or support them or help them. Whenever I have that opportunity, it gives amazing joy, connects me with those people that I'm able to help, and there's a sense of fulfillment. Both people are helped. It's almost like, together we're raised higher than we could have each on our own. I tried to keep that in mind this summer as I was, sharing my burdens with people and who offered to help. I wasn't trying to think, oh, I can help them by having them help. That's not what I meant, but what I mean is just realize that when people offer to help, they want you to take them up on it. And it's an amazing connection that you have. When we share our burdens, we actually grow relationships and our purpose and our joy. It's a beautiful thing. Imagine the deeper relationships and the joy that we could have as we trust people enough to share our burdens and then carry them together. That's what God wants his people to do. Jesus' invitation is to come to him together and trust that he's enough and his resources are right in this room. Trust, abide, obey. Let's pray. God, it is difficult to understand how you tell us we come to you to find rest, and yet it's going to cost us everything. But God, you know what we can handle. You designed us. You know exactly what each one of us needs. And the burden we carry, you're ready for it. And you've prepared your family to help. Help us to trust you enough to come to you, to come to each other. Help us to help each other trust and abide and obey. Bless us as we go into our homes and places of work and whatever we're doing this week. Help us to keep each other in prayer, to support each other where needed. Help us to know how to help each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.